All right. J.J. Johnson and his quintet with Bag's Groove. Would you believe that that tune was recorded on August 29th, 1958, 64 years ago? And I say these things very proudly because people have, many people, I should say, have the idea that it's only of late that, you know, people started playing great music. They've been doing this a long time. And I do this to encourage you to kind of put yourself out there and go research some of this wonderful music that is probably just sitting in a library waiting for you to just retrieve them and go home and listen to them. And they are indeed treasures. J.J. Johnson is on trombone, Nat Adderley on cornet, Tommy Flanagan is on piano, Wilbur Little on bass, and Albert Heath, one of the Heath brothers, on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we pick up from where we left off yesterday. Those of you just joining us today, as opposed to yesterday, I just want to bring you up to snuff. We are exploring, we're doing something that we've kind of changed the format a little bit, but not much. But what it will do is signal, I hope, to people who regularly listen to this program that there's room for you to do some teaching. That's right. You should do some teaching, not just listening, but some teaching. And all the little exercises we've been doing along the way were meant to help you get better and better and better at it. So that when the time comes, and that will be very shortly, you will have your space, you will take the microphone, and you will deliver a lecture on a particular subject. It was a very encouraging Monday because we got a lot of feedback. I don't know if you listened yesterday. But there are quite a few people out there who can do a fantastic job of helping us galvanize the audience and helping us hear, listen to the way they have improved in making presentations that are meant to persuade people that their view is a solid view. Now, you don't have to agree. That's the whole thing I say all the time. It is not relevant, really, whether you agree or disagree. Just don't be disagreeable. But also, if you disagree, you are obliged, it seems to me, to make your own case just as competently as the case made by the presenter. And we'll be a group to deal with in the not-too-distant future. So we had some questions out there floating around to just tease people a little and to see how they reacted to the questions. We got very good reaction. And today, just another batch of questions that would help you, you know, toss the subject around in your head and see whether it is a subject you would like to present. And we'll get to that in one other, I have one other such programs to do, and we'll get this issue started. And in between, of course, we continue with our regular features of discussing contemporary issues and we'll try it and see how it works. All right. So those of you who called in and did strike a chord, you'll get a call from me, and we'll talk about when you might want to schedule your talk, and we'll play out the basic ground rules, and we go from there. I'm very excited about it. So these are the questions were on the board here, so let me share them with you. The first is, will there ever be a consolidation of effort and support among smaller parties to challenge and break the hegemony of the so-called major parties? Let me repeat that. Will there ever be a consolidation of effort and support among smaller parties to challenge and break the hegemony of the so-called major parties? Here's the next question. Are major parties responsible primarily for race, class, gender, and income-based politics in the United States? Are major parties primarily responsible for race, class, gender, and income-based politics in the United States? Have mainstream political parties agreed to shut out younger people from politics? Have mainstream political parties agreed to shut out younger people from politics? And finally, what kind of person should seriously consider running for public office? What kind of person should seriously consider running for public office? Those are the additional questions. Let's get a sense of what you think of these additional questions, and whether they interest you or don't interest you, at 888-874-4888, pick one, or just zoom in on the question that picked you, and let us start exploring these subjects. Mind you, we're not doing the presentations today. We're feeling our way in terms of the topics, and we will soon be able to decide who will do the presentations. So if you have a reaction to the questions that I just raised, it would be a good time to call 888-874-4888, and let's get your initial reactions. 888-874-4888. That number should be planted smack in the middle of your brain. You should see that number all day, all night. Wake up and you see that number. So you don't have to go look it up when the time comes to call in. Okay, there's a lot happening in the country, and we're not going to follow the news. We do our own thing. And we do it differently. The whole point is to get people to analyze things for themselves, to look at a subject and its various dimensions, to see the full playing out of it, and then you draw a conclusion as to what do you do with what you have analyzed, what have you uncovered, what is important to understand, and you go from there. That makes you a very, very difficult person to manipulate. 888-874-4888. I don't see anybody yet. And I should see 500 names already. But you're kind of slow today. 888-874-4888. Steve from New Jersey, you're on the air and you start us off.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, how are you doing?
But turn off whatever it is that's giving us the echo.
Okay.
Have you done so?
Yes, can you hear me now? Is that better?
Yes, much better.
Okay, great. I've been listening to you, I don't know, about 9 years. And I love everything about you. And I'm glad you're still here.
I need to be friendly with you because there's so many people who belong in the other group.
I want to say two things. I want you to put a playlist together of your music. And it just blows my mind every damn day. I appreciate that. Thank you. And the oligarchs will never, never allow anything other than the duopoly of the left wing and the right wing.
So which question got your attention today?
The second question I answered, you said, will the other factions ever join to upstage the duopoly of Republicans and Democrats, and which is held by the or controlled by or led by the oligarchs, and the oligarchs are who run this country, who this country belongs to, the money.
We're having trouble hearing you.
And that's the answer.
Okay, that's the answer. Is it something that might interest you in presenting?
No.
Okay.
I'm just saying that, you know, there will be no upstaging or competing with the oligarchs. They're not going to allow it.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for your call and contributing today. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Teresa.
Good afternoon, Ed.
Well, one of the questions, well, actually two of the questions that I'd like to address, if you allow me. Number one, the Democratic and Republican Party will always shun young people. They've shunned them in the 60s and the 70s with the Black Panther Party, with the Young Lords, with the hippies or whatever you want to call them, those new wave people. Those parties are concrete in old world politics. They serve empire. They serve the social elite. They're monetarily based, and any young ideas, any fresh views, they shun upon them. Or if they become popular, they try to co-opt them and make them part of their existence. So, yes, the young people will have a very difficult time in trying to amalgamate themselves within this political system, because this political system is geared to absorb what's popular and shun what I believe is right in service of empire. And that brings me back to the second question that you posed. Eventually, I believe there will be a grassroots movement. If this country lasts as long as it takes, I think an awareness will come to the general populace and realize that we're all in this together, and there'll be a bipartisan community. And I think it's going to take, unfortunately, if you look at history, most movements come out of great tragedy. the slavery, the abolition movement came out of slavery. The suffragette woman movement came out of women being persecuted and abused. The industrial, the unions came out of boss abuse and unsafe working conditions. So things have to reach a critical mass in American history before people realize that the power is in their hands. And I think that the ruling class, as David would say, learn from these incidents and always endeavor to distract, to dissuade, to confuse, to basically urinate on your head and tell you that it's precipitation and proceed from there. And unfortunately, a large segment of the population believes that. But until that awareness comes through.
Using highly sophisticated language today?
Trying to keep it clean.
Keep it clean.
But, I think there will be. I mean, not in my lifetime, but I think there will be.
Is this going to take a while before, I mean, a long while before it reaches the point that you are envisioning now?
I think it's growing. I think we don't, well, one thing in America, we don't have news anymore. We have infotainment, and the real stories you've got to look for. You've got, the fortunate thing about this moment in time is we have the internet, we have Facebook, and if you can swedge through the garbage, you can find people of a like mind, and people are doing things. People are doing things in Philadelphia. People are doing things here. I try to humbly do things in my area, and people are learning. People are, their minds are opening, but the whole problem is we've been so saturated with entertainment. We walk around with devices in our pocket that can show you a movie. You know, we walk around with earbuds and block out the world. We don't have the ability to reflect, but some do, and I think it's growing. And I think just by, I've always believed what King said, the arc of the universe is long, but it bends towards justice. And it might take a while. I don't think it's going to be in my lifetime, but I believe there will be a movement that will, you know, they'll just have to learn from our mistakes and not be co-opted by the monster that is capitalism.
Just to add on to this question, I would ask you, have these groups been utterly failed by the major parties?
Oh, yes, without question. Without question. We've all been utterly failed by these quote-unquote politicians. They have no... It's gotten to the point now where they can't even mouth the pretense that they serve the people. I will not stop saying it. We're in the middle of a pandemic, whether you vaccine, anti-vaccine, believe it or not, people are being hospitalized, people are dying. It happened to me. And no one has the testicular fortitude to say, hey, Medicare for all, free health care. The president, he's got the executive power. He's got the bully pulpit. He talked about it all through his quote-unquote campaign. But he can't muster the guts to make an executive order. Even if it don't last, let Congress challenge it. I mean, come on. That statement alone shows you how fake this government is when it pertains to the needs of the people.
Well, thank you. Are you surprised at your own vehemence in your response? You angrier than you suspected you might have been?
I used to be much more angry.
Oh, no, that's not possible.
I've calmed down, believe me. If you know my past, I've calmed down. I used to be the angry young man, believe me. I just do.
Like
Don Quixote, you know, you feel like Don Quixote because you're just chasing windmills and thinking they're dragons. I mean, it's unfortunate that age tempers the spirit, but, you know, I still fight and I still tell people that are younger than me that I have some influence over, or I believe I have some influence over, to continue to fight no matter what, because the day you give up is the day you die.
I strongly believe that. I share that view with you. Thank you for calling in and contributing today.
Thank you.
Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Trees, how's it going?
Okay, how's by you?
It's cold, but it's Chicago.
Well, it's Chicago. It but wouldn't Chicago. Be Chicago if it's not cold.
Can you repeat the question in regards to the big parties and the small parties again? What were you saying about that?
Okay. Well, there are two, and they're kind of linked. Have mainstream political parties agreed to shut out younger people from politics? That was one question. And the other question, which is related as I look at it, are major parties responsible for race, class, gender, and income-based politics in the United States?
Well, I guess with that latter question that you had mentioned about are they responsible for race, class, politics, if you're saying, do they exacerbate those issues, or are they responsible for fixing them?
No, are they responsible for creating them?
Oh, well, I hate to ask questions because I'm trying to understand the question. Are they, when you're talking about creating them, are they creating them to fix them or to, extend the problem even more?
To exacerbate the problem.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. When we're talking about the duopoly, that's there. That is, how should I put it? In order for them to stay in power, they have to create a chaos in this country that makes people rally towards them. And this is probably one of the reasons why third parties have not been successful against these two giants. Or, for me, one giant with two heads, because most of the parties that are created as third parties, I wouldn't say all of them, but most of them, they don't have a binding or successful cause that helps them rally around their party to go against this duopoly. And even the duopoly, which is the Democrats and Republicans, have used this tactic of having this cause to, rally around them for the, electoral politics. So say, for instance, last year's election, what was the Democrats' biggest rallying cry? Anybody but Trump. That was their rallying cry. And it worked, in a sense, because of the fact that, people ended up voting for Biden, even though, for me, I don't see a difference between Biden or Trump, except for the fact that Biden is, a little off in regards to his dementia compared to, what you say, Donald Trump has a psychological personality disorder. But I think Biden's is a little bit more chemical induced than Trump's is. But, no, there's a rallying cry that these third parties are not doing in regards to trying to fight against this duopoly. There have been a few, kind of like off-brand of third parties that have challenged the duopoly, in a way. So, for instance, I know, even though I don't agree with them, you had the Tea Party a couple of years ago. And they seem to have, some sort of success, against, the major parties in regards to Democrats and Republicans, because, originally their idea was based on taxes. And then they, you know, they branched off into, you know, more right-wing Republican, you know, stuff, which basically kind of dissolved them into the Republican Party. But those type of parties, you know, don't exist because, for one, there's not a discipline of trying to, you know, beat the parties in their own seclusive areas and then kind of reaching out to other parts of the country in order to, you know, in order to challenge this party. Because, unfortunately, third parties are not going to come up immediately and beat these parties. These parties have billions of dollars to fight against these small parties, and it's going to take time. Now, I understand there's not a lot of time, but you just can't beat this party by tomorrow. Unless you got like $50 billion, then you're not going to beat the Democrats or Republicans in an electoral race because of the fact that they got too much money to throw around. So it has to be a grassroots level. Start off small. Try to take over, you know, a big city like Chicago, which is a Democratic stronghold. And I feel if anybody's going to break the Democratic Party as a nation, it has to start here in Chicago. I feel like if they can break the Democratic Party, I feel it starts here in Chicago. But
now, is this a subject, Henry, that you think is worth discussing in greater detail?
Yeah, I definitely believe so.
Okay. All right. You may be sorry.
Okay, I guess I'm going to get that call.
You may be sorry. You may get a call. You never know. Thank you so much, though, for contributing today. And I really thank you for your general attitude. It's very optimistic, very encouraging. And I like the way you plot ahead. You know, a big snowbank doesn't intimidate you at all. You just go right through it. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks.
Brother David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, all.
Good afternoon.
I think I'll take a stab at the first question. I'm glad we all agree, many of us, that we live in a duopoly. We have, to my point of view, this is a one-party state with two divisions that make up the duopoly. And they both have the same goals in mind to enrich the ruling class, and that is from the very start in the Constitution to now. Now, as far as I can see, the chance of looking at it any other way than this is a procedure of what we call divide and conquer on steroids. Now, it's race, caste, class, and income, and they are masters at doing this. So it is going to be very difficult with the tools that they have, those tools that I just mentioned, to break that control they have on the people. One thing we have to do if we want to see that broken is to forget about this voting for the better of two evils. So we have to get to the point where we give that up, no better of two evils. The other thing is to realize that a ruling class that we have here, the oligarchs and plutocrats that run the country, they're not going to voluntarily give up anything. And they have a tremendous advantage in this country of the system of white supremacy racism. So they are masters of chopping up the people, or that is dividing up people in a variety of ways, and they've used that very effectively, and we have to realize that. They have done everything they could to neutralize any additional party other than the one party we have, Republican and Democrat, to be able to get into this game of running the country. They have nearly reached the Everest of control in this country as it is today. So it's going to take a tremendous effort for people, and we don't want to say that it can't be done, but to drive the people out of the ignorance that keeps them fighting against each other. This is the same situation that someone who is in a pickpocket group gets your attention away from everything while they pick your pocket. I know about it. They work in twos quite often. So these are the two groups, the Republicans and the Democrats, who are working like pickpockets. The other thing is that I see about this, I think is very important. You know, some of the other seminar members have mentioned it, like Brother Ed and Brother Henry and so forth, is that some of us think when someone like President Biden gets in there and he presents these progressive things and whatnot, but we're forgetting that he is from Delaware, which is like the corporate capital of the country. And it's like thinking that you're going to change a tiger into a pussycat. Just look who you're dealing with. You're dealing with a very dangerous person who will tell you anything, but when it fails, that's the way I think they want it in the first place, because the government in place is not meant to be a democracy. It's meant to be what it is, an oligarchy that is run by the oligarchs, the plutocrats, for the benefit of the oligarchs and plutocrats that are on capitalist imperialist steroids. So that's what we have. So,
All right.
Wishful thinking that they're going to change from Republican to Democrats and everything be all right, that is no way that is going to, happen.
Well, thank you very much for your contribution today, and thank you for your contribution every day, because you give us something every day that you call to think about. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take a break. We'll take a break right now and come back. And I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. And we only are touching the surface. We haven't gotten into the deep water yet. We just trying to figure out where people's heads are at. So we'll take this break. Come right back. All right. I can see your feet tapping in rhythm. And I could hear you say, I can't believe that note. I can't believe that note. That's Nat Adderley. This is Lead Stories. I'm Beatrice Lead. And what we've been doing is just sussing out, getting a feel for what people are thinking, because we'll then go to the next step, which is the actual presentations. Invite people based on how they made their brief presentations in the beginning, and we can see that there's a lot we have to work with. We have a lot to work with here. We're not suffering for lack of talent at all. So this is going to be more like we have a group forming, and different individuals will take on the responsibility of carrying the class. There will be a time limit in which you make your points, but I want people to be very comfortable with the idea of expressing the thought publicly.
and taking a position publicly and doing some research and putting your presentation together, because, of course, your presentation will be subject to questions and comments afterwards. But we're doing very well, very well. I am pleased with the enthusiasm and with the people wanting to participate. I'm reading it that way anyway, that people are eager to participate. I believe that we have great teachers among us, and that we should shape up ourselves to be teachers wherever we are. We can share things and knowledge and information that could bring clarity to many other people about subjects of the day. All right, we have time for some more calls today on the subjects that I added, and you can yourself add to what it is you picked up, and whether you're interested or not, that would be great to know. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. I used to run a journalism training program, and this method of teaching was spectacularly successful. People would swear, if you were to ask them individually, could you do so and so and so? And they'll say, oh, no, I can't do that. I don't even want to think about doing that. But then when you question them more closely, you find that there is a great discernment on their part, that in fact they'd like to give it a try. So why not give it a try now? See? And it works out very well. It works out very well. I always say that you have to be prepared to speak out, to share your views, to give a logical outline of your thoughts, wherever you are, wherever you go. It is part of the work, actually, that we do as activists. And like anything else, you have to learn how it works. You have to learn how best to use your skills, how to lay out a logical line of reasoning. You don't have to talk for days on end, but you can make a succinct argument very powerfully done, and people will remember it for a long, long time. And that's what I'm hoping to assist with, to have folks feel very comfortable about being intellectually naked in public, and, you know, being very comfortable with the idea. I can defend myself. I know where I'm going. I know the points I want to make. I know where the soft spots are in the other side of the argument, and I'm going to tackle them. I'm going to dismantle them, and I'm going to show you the truth. And that is a formidable task, but it's not like it's not doable. You know, it's very, very doable. Jeremiah from Harlem, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
My pleasure, Yatrice. I was going to try to avoid calling 2 days in a row, but I was compelled to call when I was hearing the comments of the previous callers, which I appreciated very much. And on the subject of third-party politics, one thing that I've been saying for years is these various third-party groups, and they seem well-intentioned, and a lot of them, if you listen to them, have a better platform than the two major parties, which I agree is really functioning ultimately as one party. When you listen to these third-party platforms, they have some really nice ideas. But what I've been saying for years is be visible in the community first. Don't run for president. You know, because one thing I want in a leader is I want my leaders to be somewhat realistic. I mean, I like to have grand aspirations, but when you say you're running for president and you don't have big-time capital supporting you and you don't have major media at your disposal, it's kind of like me getting up, running around the block and claiming that I'm getting ready for the heavyweight championship of the world. I'm not even a heavyweight. I'm a welterweight. So I don't want to fool you.
That is funny. That is really funny.
You know, I mean, you could tell yourself whatever you want, but you're not going to win the presidency. You're not even going to get 1% of the vote in any county. So why the symbolic gesture of running for president? Aim at a city council position or a local election and engage the community. And to me, that's where a third party can rise. The Green Party's had, you know, more visibility than the other third parties. There was a people's convention that took place leading up to the last election. I don't know if that third party, the People's Party or whatever it was called, I don't know if they've continued after that one sort of showcase they did. There's a Tax Wall Street Party. The Green Party, again, they've been the most visible, but they have not in any... I've lived in New York City for quite some time, and I've never seen them visible in the community. So to me, you know, literally go and clean up the park. And people say, hey, who cleaned up the park? The Green Party did it. But, you know, that's that type of hands-on approach that some people are reluctant to get involved with because it involves being in the community, which is not always a comfortable place to be, actually, as we look at the pain and the conditions that people are living under. Another thing I wanted to say quickly is that, you know, and I've probably said this on these airwaves before, but I really strongly believe that the major problems we face as a society are all solvable problems. This isn't Einsteinian stuff. You don't need to be a quantum physicist. When people are hungry, well, we already have a vaccine for that. It's called food. You know, if people need housing, make it a priority to provide them with housing. But the reason why problems don't get solved is because bad people are doing things in the wrong way intentionally because they're personally profiting off of the way things are being done in the wrong way. And the only way to stop them is to stop them, because they're going to continue to do things in the wrong way because they enjoy the power and the control that they enjoy, and they want more of it, which is something I think some people don't understand. You look at a billionaire and you say, well, why do they need more money? Because they need more money. They have $1 billion and they want two. Like, for example, when people talk about the hypothetical thing of microchipping people, which is not something that I've researched or claim I know anything about, but I find it funny when people think that microchipping the population is a far-fetched concept, when actually there were publicly traded implantable microchips on the stock exchange before the year 2000. That's kind of old hat. And people will say clever things like, well, they don't need to microchip you. They have your cell phone. But that's not good enough, because your cell phone can be turned off. Your cell phone can be tossed in the river. Nothing is too much for people who are addicted to the game of power and control. So, you know, I honestly believe if you were the president, Utrice, I think you'd be the best president in the history of America.
Boy, oh boy, you are so wrong.
No, I'm certain of it.
I'd be the president.
You'd be the best president in the history of this country. And not to take away from the compliment I just gave you, but if I were the president, I'd also be the best president in the history of this country.
Hey, there you go.
I care about human beings.
I second that motion. Thank you very much, Jeremiah, for calling in. And are you excited about this project?
Project? I am excited about every forward-thinking enterprise that can engage the community, because that's what we need, is we need to engage our own intelligence and not leave it up to so-called experts, because we can't afford to wait for them. We can't afford to wait for their analysis. We need to live our own lives in real time and rely on our own intelligence and discernment.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks for calling in today. Wayne from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Wayne, you're on the air.
Okay. Okay. Ms. Lepuku, please put it for now. You trees, good afternoon. Happy New Year to you and your loyal followers and educated class.
Thank you very much, Wayne. Thank you and good afternoon to you.
We started the year on a kind of negative energy, and it have a lot included in it.
Well, you have to address what we are addressing so far. What have you latched on to so far?
Okay. We have this, like you're asking about a third party. In this country, we only have one party. And if people check into the history of how it came into being a two-party system, then you will understand why there's only one party. But we definitely need another one. We definitely need another one to get these things done. For any progress to take place, the people have to be represented. The people, meaning the 90%, were never represented in this country. There were people who came to represent here at times, but then the system took them out. So, with regards to the mindset of the people, right? We have this, there are staunch people that so believe in the system as we have it right now, as they have it right now, that you cannot convince them. In fact, I got involved in this country's politics, elections, and so on, because of what they claimed then was a third party, the Green Party, Ralph Nader. He was the only one making sense then in what he was saying and the stuff he planned to do. We don't have that kind of thought pattern around anymore. We hear it sometimes speculated a lot, but when you check it out, it is coming from the same old system. And nothing going to change. All they want you to do is to be wrapped up in their ideology and your trap. Take OKC for example. Went in with all this vim and vigor about changes. And now she's so far under Miss Pelosi's frock, she don't know which way is up. Poor lady. But that's the way we go. We need not a third party. We need a party of the people. Let the rich keep their parties, or what they call parties, and let the people get something that will help them. Help us, because we are all in search of that party or that group.
Well, thank you.
Ms. Lead, one more thing. I told you before about the show and the opportunity it gives people. It is more necessary now. And I want to thank you. Thank you for all the work you've done, what you will be continuing to do. Because this outlet is so vital. And if you didn't understand, well, you do understand it. You are one of the most brilliant ladies I know. But,
oh, my goodness. I got to start telling people that, because that's not the general prevailing view.
I know.
My family members.
I know, and I have arguments about it sometimes. But, hey, I go on what I deal with. What you present to me, how you deal with others, and you are in an exceptional class. So thank you for being there and affording this opportunity. Thank you, PRN. Thank you, all who's. And we wish to have a happy new year where we get together under your auspices and get this revolution going. Thank you, Miss Lee.
Okay. I like that sound. I like that sound coming from you. Thank you so much, Wayne, for invigorating me. Thank you.
Okay.
Muhammad from New York, we don't have much time, but you do have a little bit of time.
Okay, I'll try to get as much. Excuse me. Good afternoon, Yatrice. Hope all is well.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Okay. Okay. Hope all is well. We when you look at the system we are under, you know, you have a political system. And it's called the GOP. Most people don't understand what and who the GOP really is. The GOP is a group of plutocrats, and they have in place a system where they maintain their domination and control. And one of the elements in this system, well, I should say the system is what they call racism. Most people don't fully understand what racism is. So I've just explained it to you, some of the elements in racism. Racism is a system. And some of the first things we need to learn as human beings is about systems. Why? Because we are systems. We have our digestive, our circulatory, our reproductive, our excretory. So it's very important that you learn the function of all of those systems. Now, just go on to racism. Racism is a system.
Well, we don't have very much time. We're closing in on the program's end right now, as a matter of fact.
Right. Okay, I won't get a chance to finish.
Maybe you could call another day and further elucidate. Thank you so much for attempting a nearly impossible task today, but you did some. You did something on it. Thank you so much.
I'll call back tomorrow.
Well, that brings us to the end of our program today, and I'm glad you're enthusiastic about it. I am too. And I'm listening carefully to just the preliminary expressions, and I see this as being a kind of runaway program in the sense that people will be so enthusiastic that it will keep going, although it might be just the first try, but it gives it a life, a possibility of a longer life. Thank you, and we'll talk again tomorrow. Bye-bye.